A terrifying surveillance video captured the mysterious killer with the peculiar walk. He or she was dressed in all black police tactical gear with a bulletproof vest as they roamed around Midlothian's Creekside Church of Christ for half an hour. Missy Beavers, there to teach an early morning fitness class, was killed with puncture wounds to the head and chest. Her killing shocked the tiny town and made national headlines. Stranger, nothing was taken, not even her iPad or planner. Thank you for joining us tonight for episode number 59 as we discuss the strange murder of Missy Beavers.
Hello and welcome back to the 3 a.m. Mystery Club podcast. I'm Brandon.
I'm Ro.
And I'm Derek.
And that was Derek with the intro, and he's going to be talking about a case that we've talked about many times before, and I can't wait for us to talk about it with you guys out there listening.
I'm talking about something different tonight. This episode tonight is not about a missing person like I usually do. This is unfortunately about a murder. The body was found. But this is a very weird and creepy case, in large part due to some of the most terrifying surveillance video I've ever seen. And Brandon, I'm sure you remember seeing some of the video before.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be showing you the video again later, so you'll both have a bit of a refresher, and it will be fresh in your mind so we can discuss. But let's talk about Missy Beavers. Midlothian, Texas is located about 25 miles southwest of Dallas. Back in 2010, the population was listed at about 18,000 people. Today, the population is somewhere between 20 and 30,000. In 2016, the year of this crime, there hadn't been a murder in Midlothian in 7 years. Sadly, that changed on Monday, April 18th, 2016, when a woman was found murdered inside the Creekside Church in Midlothian. That woman was Terry Missy Beavers. She went by Missy most of the time, so that's how I'm going to refer to her throughout this podcast. Missy lived in Red Oak, Texas, and was a married mom of 3 girls. She was a very driven fitness instructor. And just side note, I've looked at lots of pictures of her while researching this. She was a very fit woman. It was very clear that she put her all into her teaching these workouts and being a personal trainer and a fitness instructor. She looked very strong and healthy. Missy had actually arrived at the church that Monday at around 4 a.m. to set up for a group fitness class that she would be teaching. The class was to start around 5 a.m., but Missy got there very early to make sure everything was ready and have the space prepared for the students. The students that arrived at the church that morning had planned for a high-intensity workout. In fact, the night before, their beloved teacher, Missy, posted on her Facebook page that even if the class was rained out, it would be held indoors. The sun wasn't even out that early morning, but the group was ready to exercise. Their teacher, Missy, was one of the most warm and genuine people around. After all, it takes a special kind of person to motivate a group of people to work out that early in the morning. When teaching this particular class, Missy would have to leave her home in Red Oak at around 3:30 or 3:45 in the morning to make it to the church and set up the space for her fitness class. Ready to work out, the students entered the church around 4:35 a.m. They made their way towards the usual classroom they were in, most likely expecting to find Missy finishing up her preparations, but instead found her unresponsive on the floor surrounded by blood and broken glass. She did not appear to be breathing. The panicked students called 911. Police and members of the fire department arrived within 10 minutes. Paramedics were some of the first on the scene, and they confirmed what everyone was afraid of, but knew in their hearts to be true. Missy Beavers was dead.
Wow, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine being so motivated to work out and having and going in there and finding your instructor just dead. Like, I probably would never work out again.
In a church.
Yeah, not what you expect to find that early in the morning.
I can only imagine how horrified everyone was and how heartbroken it would have been. So awful.
Yeah.
The students were stunned, naturally. No one could imagine who could have possibly wanted to hurt Missy. She was the type of person everyone loved. Not only that, but as I mentioned earlier, there hadn't been a murder in Midlothian in 7 years. Police could tell right away this was no accident. Missy had indeed been murdered. Although they wouldn't know for sure until the autopsy, of course, it seemed pretty clear Missy died from puncture wounds to her head and chest.
So by puncture wounds, do you mean like she was stabbed or?
Well, that is a great question, and I'm going to get to that. So police got to work right away. They searched the building for any trace of the killer. Though I was not able to find what the source was of that broken glass I mentioned that was found around Missy, police have reported finding broken glass near Missy's body and throughout the church. They also found forced entry marks on the church's back door from a pry bar. So initially, many wondered if Missy was a victim of bad timing and maybe had interrupted a robbery that was in progress at the church and then killed as a result.
So there was broken glass laying around there, but there weren't any like broken windows or anything?
Well, that's going to come up later. When investigators reached out to church officials, however, they were unable to confirm that anything was missing. I think Missy was even still wearing her jewelry. Because Midlothian is a small town, the church didn't have an alarm system. And to make matters worse, the cameras outside were not even working that early morning. But fortunately, the church did have a video system inside the hallways, and it was recording throughout the night. Authorities hurried to the tapes, hoping to find some insight as to what could have happened to Missy. They went back to the beginning of these recordings. While Missy was not seen in any of the footage, someone was. A person who was first seen on the tapes at 3:50 that morning, according to the timestamp of the footage. This person was dressed in police tactical gear, carrying what appeared to be and what was later revealed to be a hammer, walking throughout the church, opening doors, breaking windows, and peering inside the rooms and then quickly shutting the doors. It is very bizarre and creepy as hell. You both know that I love a good surveillance video with the cases that we do. This is one of the creepiest I've ever seen. I'm going to send both of you the video. I want to hear your thoughts on this. I have chills watching this person opening these doors.
At first glance, it's, you think, okay, so there's a police officer just, you know, checking out the area. But then it's like, okay, but that's awfully peculiar.
And it does look like a police, I mean, clearly the uniform, but also the way they're walking and opening the doors, it does look like a police officer is kind of checking things out and securing the area.
Yeah, and, but why would he, well, I don't know, I'm going to say why would they still have that? Because I can't help but think the gate is a woman.
You mentioned gate, and you're pointing out the person has a very distinctive walk, wouldn't you say?
Very, yes. Also, just not carrying them, like this might sound weird, but just not carrying themselves like a police officer, even. Like, I don't know. It's very casual, but also determined.
I agree. It looks very methodical to me.
Oh, and now they're like, yep. And now they're breaking out windows, right?
There is the answer to your question. They are breaking out windows with the hammer. So, why? So, who knows?
So then you definitely realize, okay, that's not a police officer.
Yeah. And then back to your point, Brandon, where you think it the gate looks female. To me, it looks like a woman who is trying to walk more masculine.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like they're trying to get, basically it's how a woman thinks a man would walk.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It looks like a woman impersonating a man, but like there's just something about it that you can tell is a woman.
Yeah. Like it's almost too exaggerated to be a casual man's walk.
Yeah.
I actually had this in my notes that I wanted to ask you both if you thought it could be a woman. And I'll touch on that a bit later, but that is definitely a popular theory that it could possibly be a woman trying to imitate a man.
And if you look at the body shape, it almost looks like it might even be a thin woman who has just like shoved a pillow or something up her shirt. I mean, just with the initial body shape, I haven't zoomed in on the video or anything, but to me, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. It's all coming off as a definite, like disguise, and yeah.
It is a rather, not to body shame anyone, if you can body shame a killer, but it's a rather dumpy figure. I could see where it could be padding or.
Yeah.
Something that I thought was really interesting on the footage that we all just watched is that the individual in the video, as you saw, was like opening and shutting cabinets or something. But the really funny thing is they were not going through the cabinets. It's not like they were looking for something. They were just sort of opening and shutting them.
Yeah, I feel like they're waiting on somebody to get there. Missy, I guess. And they're just like, okay, I'm going to walk. This is what I would do. I would just walk around and, you know, pace and open doors and just check things out. It's clear they're not there to steal anything or anything like that. They're breaking glass just to make it look more like they were there for other reasons, maybe. But yeah, opening and closing things with no like purpose. They're just killing time or I don't know. But did they not know the camera was there?
I don't know, but I have a feeling the person knew the camera was there.
Yeah, because they were like, pretending to walk different than, or I presume.
I felt like there was almost something cocky about the way they were walking around.
Yeah.
It's believed this person was walking the church, vandalizing the property for about a full 30 minutes before Missy even showed up. As I said a few minutes ago, to me, it looked very methodical, even slow. If this is the person that killed Missy, which I'm pretty sure it was, they don't appear to be scared or even one bit rushed. It was just like a little stroll throughout the church hallways, opening and shutting cabinets, looking in doors. Oh, here's a window. Let's break it. It was very odd. The Midlothian Police Department released this footage to the press almost immediately. They even published the video on YouTube. The police inform the public they believe the suspect to be between 5'2 and 5'8, give or take a few inches because of the helmet the person was wearing. They also ask the public to be on the lookout for someone with that distinctive gait you mentioned. So, speaking of that gait, do you two think it was a foot or leg injury, or were they intentionally walking that way to throw off investigators like you mentioned?
I mean, it's possible it could be a leg injury that's causing that, but it just doesn't, instinctively, that just is not what pops up for me when I see it.
Yeah, me either. And but also now the height also has me wondering, not that there can't be a short man killer, but
it was Danny DeVito.
Oh my God, you don't understand. I was going to say it was Danny DeVito. I swear to God, I was about to say that.
I mean, basically, that they just called a bolo out on Danny DeVito in a SWAT uniform.
Figure is like, has anybody checked Danny DeVito's out?
maybe it was the penguin, because he's even walking like a penguin, kind of.
Yes.
Ew, the person does walk funny.
Okay.
So, I have to say, though, if it was somebody that had an actual leg injury or foot injury, and they knew they were likely on camera, I feel like they would have purposely tried to not walk like that.
Or that's what they were trying to do, and that's why it looks so awkward.
No, that too.
And I wonder if they just hurt themselves getting in, or if they've had a, withstanding injury or just limp.
I mean, it is possible, but just on first glance of the video and then the description, I still like to go with the idea that it's a woman trying to impersonate a male perpetrator.
The police also informed the public that Missy's official cause of death was a head wound with multiple puncture wounds to her chest, which, according to records, would be consistent with the hammer the person in the video was carrying.
I was going to ask if the hammer was, like, the claw was what was used.
I've never read it was specifically the claw, but if it's a puncture, I feel like it would had to have been, right?
Yeah, for sure. Otherwise, it would have been just more blunt.
Right, like blunt force.
Yeah. I've seen enough horror movies with people stabbed with a hammer claw.
But think about how much rage that person had to have actually caused puncture wounds with a hammer claw, because most of the, just your run-of-the-mill hammer is dull on the claw end. So you had to be hitting pretty hard and angrily.
And I know I'm getting ahead of myself here, and I'll probably talk about this again, but I also feel like somebody's got a hammer and they're about to attack you. You should be able to get away somewhere, and if she knows the person, and if it was just complete surprise. But I'm sure that's something we're going to talk about.
I've wondered the same thing. I wondered if maybe she was setting up for the class and they came up behind her.
Yeah, that's possible. But I feel like they would have been making some kind of noise in all that gear and that walk.
Can you? I hate thinking about this, but I feel like we have to touch on it because this is what we discuss on this podcast. Can you imagine if she did see them before she died, how terrified she must have been to have been inside that church that early in the morning and to have encountered this person dressed in SWAT gear with a hammer?
Yeah, for sure. That's why part of me wonders if somebody revealed themselves and she knew who they were.
Yeah, because I could imagine just the shock from that would almost activate your flight or fight response. And some people would probably just freeze in that moment.
So we were talking about the weapon and how it was potentially used. So for a while, either the police didn't know what the weapon was for sure, or the information just wasn't released to the public. But it wasn't revealed until a bit later that it was actually a hammer. At first, there was speculation as to what it could have been. And it was eventually revealed to be the hammer. So what was the motive? Since robbery seems pretty unlikely, as nothing obvious was taken from Missy or the church, what was it? Well, the investigation then turned to Missy's personal life. One of Missy's regular workout partners, a man named Mark, told a CBS news outlet that Missy seemed off and distracted lately. She was usually perky, and leading up to the incident, she had been more reserved. Missy's phone records were then subpoenaed so they could start sorting through everything, emails, texts, phone calls, social media, etc. It turns out Missy had been using LinkedIn to chat privately with a couple of people before she died. The messages were more personal than work-related, as LinkedIn is usually used for. Police served LinkedIn with a search warrant and made that information public. There were two different sets of messages in Missy's LinkedIn account, and they had very different tones. One was friendly and flirtatious, even turning, quote, intimate. Remember, Missy was married, so this stands out. The tone of the other message, which unfortunately I could not find much information about at all, has been described as creepy. Missy, it turned out, had shown one of her friends some of the more creepy messages, and the friend said they knew immediately something was wrong. The friend of Missy was not able to recall the name of the person who sent those messages or even really what they said, but they remembered that the person that sent them was male, that Missy did not know him, and that they seemed very, quote, off. And that's really the only information I was able to find on that set of messages, but clearly it seems very important and it stood out and I wanted to mention it. In addition to LinkedIn, authorities observed that Missy used many social media sites to advertise her fitness classes. It was called Camp Gladiator. Camp Gladiator didn't have a specific location, but the classes were held in event spaces, parks, churches, you name it. It was sort of a pop-up class, and Missy would have been considered an independent contractor, most likely. And you know, people that are fitness trainers or independent contractors of any sort, they all use social media to advertise because they are their own business. They are their own marketing. So in order for her to have clients, she advertised. And I mention this to you because details of Missy's classes would have been posted on everything, the dates, the times, the locations, all of it. Anyone with the internet could have likely surmised where Missy would be and probably when she would be alone. And I need to reiterate, Missy had posted her schedule for that Monday morning, the night before she died. Remember, I mentioned that if she posted that if the class was rained out, they were going to do it inside. As we usually find with these investigations, it initially focused on Missy's husband, Brandon. But when police spoke with him the first time, he told them he was out of town on a fishing trip in Mississippi. He was pressed on who would want to do this to his wife, and Brandon said he could not think of a single person anywhere that would want to hurt Missy for any reason whatsoever. He did say that he had been worried about Missy in general because of how early her mornings were. I mean, she was out before the sun was up, in that dark building by herself in very early morning hours. Also, I need to say, police found a gun in Missy's car. It was registered in her name, so maybe she was a bit concerned for her safety as well. But this is also Texas, and it's the norm for many to have guns. So maybe this isn't actually evidence of her having been afraid. After all, that gun was found in her car, and I feel like if she was afraid, she would have taken that gun into the building with her.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking. I was like, well, if she was looking out, if she was looking behind her back right now around this time, she would have had it on her.
Yes, I agree. I feel like there's no way if she was that concerned for her safety, she would have left the gun in the car if she took the trouble to have a gun in the first place. Then something unusual occurred just 4 days after Missy was murdered on April 22nd. Her father-in-law, Randy Beavers, showed up at a local dry cleaner's with a woman's white long-sleeved shirt that was covered in blood. Randy told the dry cleaning employee it was animal blood from breaking up a dog fight, but the employee had some reservations. Again, this is a very small town. Missy's case had blown up all over the news. Everybody was talking about it. The employee knew of the case, of course, and knew who Randy was. So this set off some major red flags, and that person called the police. According to the search warrant police obtained for the dry cleaning business, the shirt appeared as if someone had attempted to clean it even before bringing it in. However, Brandon's sister, Christy, backed up her dad's story. She says the dog fight occurred at her house. When the shirt was tested, it did come back as the blood from a canine. Police were also able to verify that Randy made an emergency vet visit with his dog, who sadly ended up passing away. But when investigators began to look critically at Randy Beavers, they noticed something that really stood out. He has not only the same build as the person in the church surveillance tape, but you can probably guess he too walks with a very distinctive gait. I have a comparison video of the surveillance footage and a video of Randy Beavers, Missy's father-in-law. I'm going to send it to you now so we can discuss. Okay, so wait until you both see this video. I cannot wait to hear your reactions to this. I have a lot to say about it, and I'm sure you're both going to as well.
Okay. Okay, that's the exact walk.
And build, right?
Yeah, he might be a little taller than they think, but not by much. I don't even know which one's Randy Beavers, but I can tell it's the guy in the pink shirt by the walk.
Yeah, it's pretty chilling to me. It looks identical.
And the way they carry their head and shoulders, too, is pretty distinctive.
Yeah, and swing the arm. The arm swing is exactly the same, and it's, you know, it's kind of a feminine walk. Just that's the bottom line.
And not to be mean, but he's kind of got, like, at his neck, it's sort of like a hump a little bit, and that kind of looks like the person in the original video, too.
Yeah.
If that was not him in that video, that is some very bad luck that he just happens to have the exact same build and walk as that person.
Yeah, I'm ready to hear what else you have to say about this. Like, if he's a suspect or whatever, because based on the walk alone.
Well, I think it's probably going to blow your minds what I'm going to say about all of this. As I said, to me, he appeared, Randy Beavers, identical to the person in that video. As identical as someone can be who is completely covered up in tactical gear. The build, the walk, just looks like the same person. But, like Missy's husband, Brandon, Randy tells police he was also out of town at the time of Missy's killing. He alleges he was in California. But this is not enough to alleviate an already obsessed public suspicion. Once the warrant from the dry cleaners was made public, the Beavers immediately went to the media to address the public. They even thanked the dry cleaning business for calling the police. Even though Randy's story about the bloody shirt ended up being proven true, police still kept their focus on Missy's in-laws. Just a few days later, Missy and Brandon's cell phone records were revealed, and it cast some doubt on their marriage. Texts between the two showed that their marriage was plagued with financial problems as well as infidelity. Police also uncovered 9 phone numbers that regularly communicated with both Brandon and Missy. Some of the numbers belonged to family friends, one to a male Camp Gladiator instructor and his wife, and one of them belonged to Randy Beavers. Although I was not able to find whose side the alleged infidelity was on, the court of public opinion and speculation then turned to, what if Randy was upset that his son was involved in an unhappy marriage? And I don't mean to make light of this situation, but doesn't this theory sort of seem like a Lifetime movie? The father-in-law is upset about his son's marriage problems, so he decides to take matters into his own hands.
Yeah, like, if that's the motive, that's a pretty upset father-in-law.
It kind of, if that's the case, that's kind of like the Susan Powell case.
Yes, I didn't even think of that totally like that.
Or the creepy father-in-law and the husband, which none of it's, you know, it's alleged still, but, you know, all signs point to something similar.
Tom Skerritt as Randy Beavers on Lifetime. Jokes aside, though, one popular online theory is that Randy and Brandon may have conspired together. Police most likely had this thought as well, since they were looking at both men. However, now this is the part that is just, as the kids say, sending me. They were able to corroborate Randy's alibi. He was not in Midlothian, nor was Brandon.
Like how did they? Like, people, they had witnesses that saw them somewhere, or tickets?
I didn't find, like, what the proof was, but enough proof that they know he wasn't there.
Okay, so it was convenient that they were both gone.
I know. What is it with these fishing trips and business trips when wives disappear?
Normally.
Yeah.
I have a question then.
What's that?
How tall is Randy Beaver's daughter?
Or why?
That is a great question. I don't know. And do you know, Brandon, you saying or wife made me think of something. I didn't find much about it this time around while researching for the episode. But I remember before, like on Reddit or something, people speculating, wondering if it could have been Missy's mother-in-law.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I know about this case a little bit. And in my mind, I remembered the mother being a suspect, not the father, because I probably just got jumbled in my brain. And that's why when I first saw the video, I was like, oh yeah, that's definitely, you know, her mother-in-law because of the way the person was walking. So I kind of had it in my mind that it was a woman the whole time. So yeah.
It's very odd though. It's so, I just cannot wrap my mind around how Randy Beavers could have that build and walk just like that person in that video. I think it's safe to say everyone that watches that video would agree that they walk exactly the same. Yeah. He was out of town.
Well, maybe, you know how they say couples start to look alike. Maybe they start to walk alike also.
On May 20th, all members of the Beavers family were formally ruled out as suspects during a press conference, much to the dismay of online sleuths. As I just said, for me, it does not make sense. I know the blood on the shirt was from an animal. I know he was in California, but I just keep going back to that tape and that person's build and walk. It is shocking to me that it could not be him and that they would rule him out, but they did. And we need to say he's never been charged with anything. Obviously, they were completely ruled out. I need to make that clear. It's just surprising to me how similar the walk is to the person in the surveillance video. At that same press conference where the Beavers were ruled out, police announced that they were looking for something. A new vehicle of interest, a silver Nissan Altima between 2010 and 2012 with an oval-shaped bumper sticker. And though the cameras outside of the church were not functioning that night, a sporting goods store just down the street had functioning outdoor cameras, and those cameras captured footage of a car driving into the church parking lot and turning off their headlights. Now, this was a bit earlier than the footage with the person walking throughout the church, and much earlier than Missy arrived. This car entered the parking lot at about 1:58 a.m., and it drove around, sort of circling the parking lot with the headlights off, and left at 2:04 a.m. So there were a few minutes where we don't really know what was going on. But due to the grainy quality of the video and the rain outside, the license plate was not able to be identified. It just seems like this case, with every bit of proof that, or every bit of video or anything that comes up, there's always a wall that comes up. There's always something that shatters the hopes of the investigators while they're searching for answers in this case. Now, this is the third and final video I'm going to send, so you can both check it out. I'm going to send you the video of the car that entered the parking lot. And police, I believe, have said at one point, I'm assuming they're still sticking with this, the police are claiming that they don't necessarily believe this car had anything to do with Missy's murder. It could have just been a coincidence. They were hoping to find who owned the car so they could ask them some questions.
And oddly enough, that car resembled the car that Randy Beavers drove.
Oh, serious.
On his trip to California. I'm just kidding.
Waiting on that one. Okay, I'm ready to press play. And this is 7 minutes, so we don't have to watch the whole thing. So we see it's raining outside. The video is a bit grainy. It's in black and white, of course. The silver car turned off the headlights and entered the parking lot.
Yeah, before they even got in the parking lot.
Right, which gave me chills, as I always say, and seems intentional to me. Why on a rainy night would you turn off your lights when you enter the parking lot? And now we see it entering another sort of parking area. I don't really know if this is from another angle, or if this is a different lot that the car is entering. But we can see it driving around.
I will say that's just a different angle.
Still no lights, just driving around, rain pouring down, dark outside, no headlights. Now they're sort of stopping slowly, and now they're picking up speed again and driving. And now they're stopped. And then they turn their lights on and continue. Now this video goes on for several minutes, so we're not able to watch the whole thing right now. But what do you two make of what you've seen so far?
Well, I mean, that was definitely a suspicious, you know, that was like, what, 2 or 3 a.m.?
Yes, around 2 a.m.
Yeah, the turning off the lights before you even turn into the parking lot is very suspicious.
Yeah, that's definitely the action of someone that doesn't want to be noticed.
And if that was a coincidence, that they just so happened to do it like 2 to 3 hours before Missy was killed inside the building, what are the odds of that?
Yeah, lots of possible coincidences in this case, if they're not the actual murderer.
There really are so many. It's unbelievable, actually. Unfortunately, this car video that we just watched didn't produce any credible tips, and Missy's case began to cool off. Then, after numerous tips, authorities began looking at a former police officer named Bobby. Police searched Bobby's house in December of 2016. Though the warrant for this search was initially kept from the public, it was eventually released and contained a lot of interesting information. According to the warrant, not only was Bobby a former cop in nearby Lancaster, but he was also, you guessed it, a tactical officer during his tenure, even admitting he still owns some of his old gear. Yep, you guessed it, just like the gear in the video. But Bobby told police that gear did not fit him anymore and that it couldn't have been him. It was eventually revealed that Bobby had been on police radar for a while, and I wasn't really able to find out why. I'm not sure if that information has just not been made public or if I just wasn't able to find it in my research, so I don't know why, but police had been looking into Bobby for a while, much before they made that known to the public. They had even interviewed him all the way back in May, around the time of the Randy Beaver's bloody shirt at the dry cleaner thing. So even though I don't know what the thing about Bobby was that had police really examining him, there were a few reasons that his name started to be floated around. First of all, he attended services at Creekside Church. And not only did he used to be a cop with tactical gear, like I mentioned, but now this is the really weird part. He was also a security guard who actually did security at Missy's funeral.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Right. The person of interest actually worked security at Missy's funeral. Used to be a cop, used to be a tactical cop.
Does Bobby walk with a limp?
How did you know? He sure does.
What?
I know, it's unbelievable. The walk is so strikingly similar, and I wish we had a video of Bobby's walk, but we don't. But the walk is so similar that a forensic podiatrist was asked to compare Bobby's walk to the person in the surveillance video. I didn't even know there were forensic podiatrists, by the way, but apparently there are. Dr. Michael Nuremberg was called in. He runs a foot clinic in Indiana. When Dr. Nuremberg is not with patients, he's an expert witness in criminal cases across the country. He says more than one person can walk the same way, so it is just one piece of the puzzle. Dr. Nuremberg says he would not participate in a prosecution if the only evidence was gait analysis. Quote, when I took this case on, I had a police officer put on similar armor and walk with and without the armor. I put the armor on as well, just to see how I felt it would change how I walked. Quote, something else was uncovered in that warrant. There was a second vehicle, a dark SUV seen leaving the church parking lot at 4:30 a.m. At the time, Bobby drove a dark SUV that matched this vehicle's description. And remember, the students arrived for the Camp Gladiator class around 4:35. So this timing is fascinating to me. Bobby was suspended or terminated from his law enforcement position after being charged with aggravated sexual assault. Some have wondered if Missy was sexually assaulted, but that information has not been made public that I'm aware of. It also needs to be said that Bobby was in jail for child pornography. He was interviewed and denied even knowing Missy's name. Now, I thought that part was kind of odd considering he worked her funeral.
Yeah, and it's a pretty small town and they both have ties to that church.
Right, that didn't really sit well with me or make a lot of sense. But, and this is probably going to shock you both, he actually passed a polygraph test relating to Missy's case, and the forensic podiatrist couldn't definitively identify Bobby as the person in the video. Bobby has officially been ruled out as a person of interest in Missy's case.
I thought you were going to say he was out of town.
No, he apparently was not out of town, but he was still ruled out. Can you believe it?
No, I cannot believe it. I also couldn't imagine a motive. So I was, you know, my brain's already spinning. Like, was he just fucking around in the church and she, like, he didn't know she was going to be there and, like, she caught him doing weird shit? What?
Well, my mind goes to that he was charged with aggravated sexual assault. And it hasn't been made public if Missy was sexually assaulted. I hope, obviously, she was not. But if she was, it would make a lot of sense, considering his history. But again, he was ruled out. He has not been charged with anything. As it stands today, he is innocent.
I do wonder if he really couldn't fit in that uniform, though.
Wonder if they made him try it on.
I don't know. They should have. I don't know if they can without a trial. I don't know.
Brandon, you've got my mind spinning too. I'm working with your theory here. So what if he was in there, like you said, fucking around, and she caught him, I don't know, he was in jail for child pornography. What if he was doing weird crap in the Sunday school rooms?
Yeah.
And she caught him and it made him mad, and then he, you know, and he didn't want that to get out, so he just killed her.
Yeah, I've seen too many episodes of SVU, so I'm thinking of stuff like maybe his, you know, his uniform gets him all hot and I don't know. And that's his thing. He likes to go in and break windows with a hammer in churches. I don't know. Like, and then do other freaky stuff. And she comes in and yeah, because otherwise I just couldn't imagine a motive. But also he's apparently, you know, has been ruled out. So just,
you know, polygraph tests have an iffy history. So
yeah, that's why they're not admissible.
Right. And he was a police officer, and some people have that ability to pass those things.
I don't understand polygraph tests. I know they don't count as far as court goes, but why do we have them if they don't?
I guess it's just to maybe. You can probably use it to get like warrants and things like that, but you definitely can't bring it up in court.
So it's not even allowed to be mentioned in court.
Right. And I think it's more or less just a tool to help police narrow down their suspect pool.
Yeah. And also to like back up when they do not charge somebody, they can always say, hey, you know, well, they passed the polygraph test.
True. And Ro, I just want to say really quickly before we move on, that you said something that actually reminded me of something when I was researching this case. So one of the sources that I was listening to was a podcast, and the hosts of the podcast were watching the surveillance video that we all watched. And I don't know how she could tell, because I wasn't able to tell based on what I saw. But one of the hosts said that one of the rooms that they opened was clearly a nursery.
Ew, creepy.
So you saying maybe they were doing something weird in the Sunday school room or the nursery room made me think of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a stretch, but people have weird things that they do sometimes.
I don't even know if it's that much of a stretch. I think it's smart insight. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really think of that.
Were any of the doors that they opened the room that Missy was going to be in?
That I'm not sure. I wish the video was more clear.
I wish the outside video was there. I'd like to see her going in, because we don't even know like when she got there or if she got there. Like, I mean, I don't think somebody brought her there, but I mean, I'm sure she was attacked there, but I wish that we could see her.
And why is she not on any of the video?
That's what I wonder. I guess, I don't know. Maybe there's where she was going has an outside entrance, so she never had to go through those hallways.
The murderer was at first identified as a man by authorities, but later they changed that to say it was undetermined whether it was a man or a woman, which brings us back to our earlier conversation. Could the killer be a woman in disguise to throw off investigators? I think we all can agree anything is possible at this point with this case. A popular theory online is that she was murdered by a jealous woman. Could this have something to do with the infidelity issues that Missy and her husband allegedly had?
That's not a bad theory, especially since the men have been ruled out. And our first thoughts were, hey, that's probably a woman.
It does look like, do you guys remember being teenagers and going to the fair? And there was that certain group of girls who liked to pick fights. And they just walked a certain way and they would just roll up on another person. And it was always over a boy. And then, yeah, you know, the EMTs would have to get involved afterwards. But you know what I mean? The way that stance is and that walk is, that just gives you that feel that somebody's going to roll up on somebody.
Yeah.
So I need to say once again, none of the people we mentioned in this episode have been charged in Missy's case. And all of them have been cleared by investigators as people of interest. So anything that we discussed was just speculation based on our personal feelings, opinions, and also opinions from the internet and Reddit, etc. Whatever happened to Missy Beavers was unbelievably tragic. It's completely awful. I can only imagine how scared she must have been. And I really hope her family finds peace and someone out there has that walk.
Several people out there have that walk.
I'm going to post the links to the videos that we discussed on our social media, so you too will be able to join us in the discussion and give us your theories on these strange videos relating to Missy's case. They will be up on all of our social media on Monday when the episode is posted.
And we'll talk to you soon.